Next on BYUSN, back-to-back ranked wins for BYU. The Cougars upset number 19 Arizona. They did it for Jimmer. How did BYU secure their best road win of the season? And what does the victory over AZ mean for the Cougars' national resume? Does it include an AP top 25 ranking for the first time this season?
Let's hope so. Richie Saunders joins us to discuss the game-winning free throws, the massive win, and how the Cougars have had a precipitous rise the last month. And Fox Sports radio host Aaron Torres discusses BYU's performance in the game in Tucson, or Tucson, and his predictions for BYU in the NCAA tournament.
It's another winning Monday. Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. February 24th, vibes are immaculate. I am Spencer Linton alongside a man who has never been more happy that there is a gym in every single church across the world in the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. He is Jerem Jordan.
Well, it's internationally, that's not always the case. Sometimes I'll have a soccer set up, you know, in America, it's a gym. And its uses are many. The Christmas party we've talked about, you know, that's important. Blah, blah, blah. Making free throws matters. Church gyms matter for Brigham Young University intercollegiate men's basketball. Here's Richie Saunders after the game about this.
I've practiced that, you know, since I was a little kid and in the church gym. Like, that's what I practiced.
Hey, shout out to the Riverton Steak Center, maybe, where Richie shot his free throws. There's probably a bunch of steak centers there. What a win, Spence. We're going to break it all down. I'm still in shock that BYU did what they did last week. One of the greatest weeks ever for Cougar basketball.
No doubt about
BYU
it.
BYU might be ranked today, bro. Like, who knows? It's going to come out right after the show, we think. They might be ranked.
That's just the tip of the iceberg for the conversation today. Let's get right into it. Rise and shout. It's time for What's Trending.
My message to our group is, you know, whatever the next challenge in front of us, we're trying to attack. I just felt like whoever was going to kind of get the last stop was going to win. And, like, plays are great, but players got to make plays, and that's exactly what happened.
BYU comes into Tucson and walks out with the win.
What's Trending, presented by BYU Food to Go, the MVP of your next event.
Bring on the booze.
You and the rest of the BYU players inciting the crowd in
Mihailo
a similar
Boscovich,
fashion.
Gabe Okada riling him up.
BYU takes down number 19 Arizona in a wildly entertaining game. Incredible back and forth contest, and ultimately game-winning free throws from Richie Saunders. Jerem, this is a loaded question today because there are so much that went into it, but where do you begin in the conversation of how was BYU able to pick up, on paper, according to Net, their biggest win of the season?
It's the best win of the season. Top 10 net win on the road. Come on, at Arizona, they come into the league. BYU did what it did with Kansas last year, by the way. Oh, you're the top dog in the league. You're one of the best. Boom, on the road, we'll win on your home court. They did it this year with Arizona. BYU punched first, then kept punching. They had answers for every question that Arizona asked. BYU shot 55%, made 14 threes on 45% shooting. Mm. Both teams were at 1.3 points per possession plus. It was back and forth. Look at these numbers, 96-95. Just the third win this year when BYU's been out-rebounded, by the way.
Yeah.
They were 2-6. They got out-rebounded by 11.
It was only 11. It was 15 the first time against Arizona.
Right? So you think, hey, you got to do something different. BYU made shots, man. BYU led this game for 24 minutes. How about this number? 11 ties, 20 lead changes. Like, this was an entertaining game. Defense was not stellar, but BYU kept scoring.
On either side.
It was amazing. You think about the last 9 days, by the way. Quad 1A win. 1A being top 40 road win. This was awesome. Kansas up to 20, so that's a quad 1B win. We'll talk about that more in a minute. But as Gregor Bell pointed out, 4 weeks ago, BYU had zero quad 1 wins, one road win all year. Now they have four quad 1 wins and have won 4 or 5 on the road. Joe Wheat pointed this out. BYU just played two top 10 KenPom defenses and scored 187 points. Like, that was an unbelievable win, an unbelievable week. I'm so happy for these guys. Kevin Young is getting his players to play well at the right time. We're just a couple weeks away from Kansas City in the Big 12 tournament and the NCAA tournament. Like, oh my gosh, this team's playing so great, and they just pulled off one of the greatest wins in school history.
Can we just admire the brilliant offense that Kevin Young and his scheme and his staff ran against Arizona.
Fran Fraschilla pointed out on Twitter he had some nice sets that he highlighted.
This is what BYU fans should be, and I believe are certainly excited about when it comes to the hiring of Kevin Young. We heard from all of his NBA constituents. He's one of the most brilliant offensive minds we've ever seen in basketball. You are starting to see BYU buy into that and execute his game plan. There were so many times, at least 8 times on Saturday night, when I thought, that is an immaculate design of a play. One in particular where Dawson Baker sets a screen.
Yes.
And rolls back in a delayed fashion to a wide open layup. And Arizona's defense is throwing their arms up like, where the heck did that play come from?
They went way too high on the top side, right? They didn't drop at all. And so Dawson gets clean. They were doing this thing, too, Spence, where they would run a wing to get a switch, and then they would run your traditional pick and roll to get another switch. So they just got Arizona's defense in a bind.
It took BYU's best to do this on offense.
Absolutely.
And they kept answering the call. Every time Arizona would make a little push, it was like, oh, man, is BYU going to run out of gas? Who's going to hit the next big shot?
Yep.
Cannon Catchings to the rescue.
Can BYU keep
Richie
up?
Saunders to the rescue. Dallin Hall had some incredible minutes. Yegor Demin from the logo at the McHale Center.
One of the plays of the game. He threw it so high. I thought it would graze the scoreboard. Look at this.
This is wild.
He like kicked his leg out.
Are you kidding me? Again, one of those moments where I thought it might actually happen for BYU tonight.
Is this BYU's night? Like, you think about what BYU's done now in 2 visits there. We'll get to that in a sec, but amazing. BYU has a win streak in the McHale Center. Like
both times flirting with 100 points,
what?
No less in those wins. Yes, we'll get to that.
I'm so happy for this group that has gone through some real struggles together. Like, think about the TCU and Utah games. Think about Providence and Houston where you just get boat raced. They have figured things out. Like, it's a long season. So you got to start to play well near the end of the season. BYU's playing great. Like, great. They had the best week of anybody in college basketball.
They're making shots. They're making a ton of threes. Oh, my goodness. 14 against Arizona.
And what did we say the other day? What's going to be different about this game versus game one?
They're going to make threes.
They're not going to not score for 6 minutes. Not score. They couldn't stop scoring. They had a problem not scoring. They just kept doing it. It was amazing. And so now let's talk about some of the individuals that were amazing.
Let's do it.
Richie Saunders, obviously, 23 points. We'll talk about the last play in a moment. But Cannon Catchings was incredible. 14 points off the bench, just making threes, 4 of 6. Here's Kevin Young on Cannon, kind of what he's gone through and still performed.
When he's aggressive looking for a shot, you know, he really changes the game for us. I'm honestly really proud of Cannon. You know, his road's been up and down, and I've quite frankly, have given him a short leash of late, and he's been able to accept it and show up and continue to work. And, I've said this from day one with Cannon, like, you know, when he's playing at that type of level, our ceiling is a lot different.
Yes, it is. And he could have very well been pretty disengaged here. He got pulled from the Kansas game and didn't really play in the second half. It was a blowout, Spence. Like, he didn't play well on defense. He got taken out. Yet he was ready. He didn't sulk. He didn't pout. He was ready to knock down threes. Like, all of these shots were big. In a game where you win by one, every play mattered. So props to Cannon for staying in it.
This is tough, especially for a freshman.
Right.
Going through some natural up and down frustrations. And his team's playing well. And that's almost doubly personally insulting because it's like the team's playing well, but I'm not contributing. And I know I can and I want to be. So I love what Kevin Young said.
Yeah.
He was very, very frank.
Tapped him on the shoulder.
Got him on a short list, yeah. Or short leash. Really proud of him. Cannon stepped up. BYU needed every one of his 14 points.
Absolutely.
So many players made big shots. We haven't even mentioned the name Mawit Magg.
Mawit Magg played great defense. How about Trey Stewart knocking down his 1-3? And then he prevents Caleb Love from getting the inbound on that final play after Richie makes both free throws. So then they just chuck it down court. Richie catches it.
Trey's defense, an underrated aspect of his game.
Absolutely.
We need to bring it to the forefront.
Another guy with a headband.
Again, his minutes, while minimal, impactful. He knocks down another big three.
Just be great when you're in there.
BYU was +5 in the turnover margin. They forced 14 Arizona turnovers, only gave it away 9 times. That was a major factor for
and
the Cougs.
Yegor struggled in that department. That's why he sat a little bit. But overall, I thought Yegor was pretty good. 13 points, 8 assists. You don't like the 6 turnovers. Downhall's leadership was tremendous. Like they said,
rely on your vets on the road.
Pick and roll. He was getting guys on his hip. Like, he made great decisions, made some shots, distributed well, defended well. Dallin Hall was critical, too. Everybody was critical.
We're going to talk about a ton of numbers, but let's go ahead and just get into the numerical fun with a double feature of our stat of the day.
Oh, it's back.
It's the BYU Sports Nation stat of the day.
Beginning with this, and naturally it played into making the biggest win of the season that much brighter and better. This provided the first back-to-back wins over ranked teams for BYU since 1988, when BYU started 19-0 that season, by the way.
Yeah.
That was a really good BYU team.
I don't want to talk about losing to UAB when they could have been number one.
Friday, January 15th, the Cougars beat number 12 Wyoming by 16, then followed it up on Thursday, January 21st of 1988 with a win over UTEP, who was ranked 18th, 81-71.
I would say no offense, but I mean complete offense. Complete offense to Wyoming and UTEP.
This is a little different.
Not the same as Kansas and Arizona.
Blue Bloods.
Oh, my gosh. What?
Holy cow.
Okay, second one.
BYU's 96 points on Saturday, and we were teasing this a little bit. The most given up by Arizona at the McHale Center since, wouldn't you know, BYU and Jimmer Fredette dropped 99 on the Wildcats on December 28th of 2009.
Are you kidding me? No one scored that many since?
The 49-point game from Jimmer Fredette, still a McHale Center record, was the last time Arizona allowed any opponent to go over 90 until the Cougars did it again.
I don't know who Jared Burson is, but he's had 2 tweets in like a week on this program. Jared, keep it going, baby.
Fire post. Also, we learned on social media that Whitney Fredette dumped Jimmer on the phone after he went for 49.
What did she need, 50 points? What's up with that, Whitney?
It worked out in the end.
That's funny.
They had their happily ever after.
Yeah, I guess. I'm just kidding. Okay, so we have not brought up the fact of the last call for BYU.
Oh,
offense.
We're doing this on purpose. We're going chronologically,
Now we're doing it, okay? Was it a foul?
Oh, boy. Oh, boy, that
they called
is
it a foul,
the question.
Therefore it is, but...
And you're going to ask Richie Saunders later.
Yep.
Was it a foul? He'll give you his opinion. He joins the program today.
What did he see? Yep.
Oh. Okay. Having looked at all of the angles.
That's the key.
Yes, by the book, this looks like a foul.
And not just by the book. Like, this angle doesn't do it
the
justice.
No. On that angle, I was like, wow, he got the call. Okay.
Our boy Tony Padilla, by the way.
Then there's
mid-court.
This angle. It's like, okay, yeah, there's a little hip bump there. But then there is another angle that came out from the baseline
that shows the
knees knocking and the hip bump. And that's where Tony Padilla is staring.
Yeah.
So, yes, I believe that by the book, this is a foul, Jeremy. And given the way this game was officiated, it should have been called a foul.
Oh, there were, like, Caleb Love got to the line several times on calls where I didn't think it was a foul. But if you're going to call everything, call everything. So they did. They were consistent.
Yeah, it's a tough call in the moment. A lot of people think it's a bad call, but it was consistent with the way the game had been called.
The timing was interesting, right? Because it's late in the game. I was surprised, frankly, that they made that call in that moment. Am I happy about it? We all are, baby. We are all happy about it. In fact, here's Arizona head coach Tommy Lloyd, who was at Gonzaga forever. We know this guy pretty well, on that situation.
Step back. They scored 93 points up to that point on our home court. That's the problem. Me and my staff and our players, that's the problem, not the officials.
Prior to that, he said, was that a foul? No.
No, he said it was a bad call. Yeah, but what do you want me to do?
Yeah.
What do you want me to do?
If BYU, listen, I understand the vitriol from the Arizona fan base being upset at that. Because if BYU had lost on a call like that where Caleb Love went to the line, I'd be upset, too. I'd say, that wasn't a foul. Da, da, da.
Hate that call in that moment. It stinks.
But Trey Townsend fouled him. I'd like to thank Oakland again for helping BYU. Remember Oakland beat Kentucky? That set off the chain. Calvin Young's here. Trey Townsend was on that team with Jack Golke. Oakland University, which is not in Oakland, it's in Michigan, has really helped BYU quite a bit. Last year. Shout out Oakland.
All right. What's the next tie? Can't wait to see where it comes down the line.
I don't know, but shout out Oakland.
I appreciated Tommy Lloyd and how he addressed it.
Yeah.
I thought that was pure class, and I thought it was very fair.
He waited in on the foul. Great. You don't think
it's fair. I don't think it's foul. I thought it was a bad call. I feel terrible for
Trey. Like, we just gave up 96.
But the step back, the problem is we gave up 96 points on our home floor.
That's the bigger issue, not the singular moment.
It shouldn't come down to that play.
Right.
Don't allow it to get to that play.
Or maybe he says, they shot 55%.
And he even said, I would have loved to have stolen a game right there. He knew that they were in trouble. They were down four with, 30 seconds to go? And then Caleb Love, after BYU missed some key free throws, one by Richie Dowlin missed the front end, right?
Which we didn't bring up till now because it didn't cost them the game. We would have BYU lost.
Caleb Love hits that three, and all of a sudden they're back in it. Arizona was done if BYU earlier makes some free throws. So regardless how it played out, incredible. Richie Saunders gets it done. And now BYU
has Richie's greatest moment, by the way, at BYU. Oh. Is that right there? Okay.
BYU's won 8 of 10 now, and they've won four straight in conference for the second time this season. They didn't win three straight at any point in conference at any point last year.
Crazy, right? At Greg Crabb, the moments when you just know.
Yeah.
Will Ferentz smiling against Utah. And then Richie, someone, I can't remember who it was, they came up behind him and said something, and he kind of smirked right here. That's a smirk for Richie.
One of Arizona's players doing what they do.
Like famously Scottie Pippen to Karl Malone, like, the mailman doesn't deliver on Sunday. Because Scottie has like the deepest voice ever, by the way. All right, next question.
Jimmy Chitwood moment for Richie. I'll make it.
What does the win over Arizona mean for BYU's resume?
This means that BYU is now fully off the bubble. They're a lock for the NCAA.
That's what we talked about Friday, Doc. Let's go. Yeah.
They're in the tournament.
Yep. What's the combination?
Well, the combination, will it, when it is open, provide something better than an 8-9 seed? I think that's where they are right now, Jerem. Like, probably on the 8-9 line. But
they're heading for like a 6-7.
The way they're trending, this puts BYU on a potential fast track to get even better than that on the seeding line.
Look at 29 net now. 29.
They're a top 30 team in the net rankings and KenPom.
Every opponent for BYU, BYU's a quad one for everybody now. That screams tournament team.
Lock for March Madness, I believe.
There's the tournament train. You can hear it. Who's that coming down the tracks?
I believe that BYU should be ranked today. I would not be shocked. And in fact, I said on Saturday night, I'll be shocked if they are not. I think they have grabbed the attention of most pollsters. I believe BYU will come in somewhere around 24-25 today.
They'll be ranked. I love it.
They are an NCAA tournament team, and they are firmly in fifth. You know what else it means for BYU's resume? They actually have a path to a top four seed in the Big 12 tournament.
Yes. What if in 8 days BYU beats Iowa State?
Another huge if. Huge ask. I get it. But what if?
BYU's flawed. Don't get me wrong. They're real close to, a couple other losses. They made some clutch plays. Not acting like BYU's
No, they've
invincible.
Given some close wins away at Utah and TCU, too.
But not recently, right? The way this team's playing right now, incredible. I'm thinking BYU's probably a 5 or 6 seed in the Big 12 tournament, which gets you to Wednesday.
Most likely a 5, I think.
Most likely a 5, where they are. Because I think if BYU wins at Iowa State, now it's like getting silly, where it's like, oh, my gosh, BYU's unstoppable right now. I'm not saying they're unstoppable, but the way they're playing is pretty good. You get a top 10 net win. You're top 30 now. You have some big. You got to beat Arizona State. B.J. Freeman not on the team now, leading scorer. So that makes it a little easier. Doesn't make it easy. Makes it easier. Hopefully you win that game. West Virginia is going to be a tough game Saturday. Got to keep it going. Keep stacking days.
BYU is the heavy favorite in 3 of the final 4. So right now they are pacing, according to Ken Pomeroy, to finish 13-7 in the Big 12.
By the way, let's celebrate the fact that they got a 10th win in league. That's what we were hoping for before the season, and now it wouldn't be enough. No, it wouldn't be enough. The standard goes up.
We want four more.
Well, I want to get, to 13.
3-1 in the final four would put you at 13-7. And depending on what happens with Iowa State, then just maybe there's a scenario where BYU gets a double bye and is a top four seed. Now it would take Iowa State doing some things that we don't expect them to do. And it certainly, we feel, would take BYU winning in Ames.
They have some injuries. Who knows, in 8 days?
Our question of the day. So many good things that go into this win.
So
we want you to pick your favorite. What was the best part of BYU's win at Arizona on Saturday. At eWin24 on X says, Richie channeling his inner Will Ferrin on the last two free throws. Exactly, we showed right. you the screenshot in the post just a few minutes ago. Weigh in on X, Facebook, and Instagram to tell us
there's the smirk.
Your best part of BYU's win in Arizona. I know a lot of people love the booze.
Hit the front end.
And some tricky. Chants that escorted BYU out of the McHale Center.
And said apology.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can we stop with that? Yeah. Gosh. Not the apologies, the chant. Need that.
We don't need the apology if the chant doesn't happen, but conversation for another day.
Yeah.
I love that BYU has some dogs. They have guys that will fight and will throw it right back in the face of their opponents. Serious trash talk going on.
That's another
that game.
Shortened handshake line where L's are being thrown into the crowd. Men's basketball plays at Arizona State Wednesday night. Team stayed down there, by the way. They didn't come home. They're going to stay in Arizona, enjoy the weather. Hopefully visit the Suns, maybe. You know?
Yeah.
Pre-game begins at 8:30 Eastern on BYU Radio.
As promised, Richie Saunders goes one-on-one with Jerem after the break to discuss if he thought it was a foul. Wonder how he's going to answer that question. And what this means for BYU moving forward. This is BYU Sports Nation.
This segment of BYU Sports Nation presented by BYU Food to Go. The MVP of your next event.
You practice for moments like that where you can just shoot those free throws. Everything's on the line. Like that's why you play basketball.
The player's got to make plays, and that's exactly what happened.
Drive the base, gets right to the rim, reverse lay-in.
Got it!
Good! King Richard seals the deal.
Long live the king!
Hear, hear.
We are live in Studio B with your day-to-day BYU Sports play-by-play on a winning Monday. I am Spencer Linton. That is Jerem Jordan, and I have a good feeling you're going to enjoy the conversation that you're about to hear.
Yeah, this morning I chatted with Richie. They're staying down in Arizona, getting ready for the game on Wednesday. What a performance from him, 23 points, the game-winning free throws. We discussed all of that this morning. Richie, congratulations on an epic win at Arizona. How have you kind of thought about it and taken it in over the weekend? One of the biggest wins in BYU history.
Yeah, no, that was really cool thing to be a part of, right? You know, like, I don't know, it's just one of those special moments in like life, really, for us. But, you know, it's just coming out of this last week, 2-0. It was really cool.
One of the greatest weeks ever at BYU in a week. It was amazing, beating Kansas by 34, Arizona on the road. Okay, walk me through the final sequence there of getting the ball, picking up the dribble, pivoting, and then getting the foul call. What did you feel? What did you see?
Yeah, I mean, they initially did a good job of mixing it up for us, right? Like where they went into a zone, which kind of eliminated our plan, like our little play. And so it's just time to figure out how to make something happen, right? You know, initially it was looking for a three, but got downhill and got stuck and, you know, just tried to get something up and felt him come into my leg and ended up getting a foul call, which was cool. And, you know, just sitting on the ground, looking at the clock with 2 seconds left, like I kind of smile a little bit because that's something you dream about, right? Being in that situation.
Were you surprised you got that call at that point of the game?
I mean, it's I don't know, to be honest, right? Because like I felt the contact in my leg, which triggered me to lose my balance, so I couldn't get off the shot that I wanted, you know. And so, they could have called it, they couldn't have called, like, or they might have not called it, you know. But at the end of the day, I used the contact that he put into me to make something happen, you know. But I'm grateful that they did, you know. I'm grateful they did.
They go and look at the clock. They add a little bit so there's more time to ice the shooter and whatnot. What's going through your mind? And after the game, you had mentioned, hey, shooting shots in churches growing up. This is the moment, like you said, you've always dreamed of.
Yeah, I mean, you know, everybody practicing, right? You okay, you're down one, 2 seconds left, you got two shots, right? Like, that's just such a classic thing. And but yet, like, it was cool to be in that moment, right? Like, I mean, I've spent, like I said, I can't remember where it was, different interview, like growing up, playing in my church gym, like, this is what we would talk about. Me and my dad, he would give me these scenarios. And it's just cool to, however many years later, to just literally be in that moment. And to figure out, like, what are you going to do with that moment, you know? And, like, it was a cool, yeah, I keep saying it, but just it was a cool experience to be a part of.
So after that, you still have to stop Arizona from making a shot. We've seen Caleb Love tie the game against Iowa State from distance. Trey Stewart does an amazing job on him, covers him up. They just throw the ball to you, and then you did what I've always wondered why more teams do not do, just chuck it in the air. So walk me through that play of what you saw, what Trey did, and then what you did.
Yeah, it was great defense by Trey. That's what he does. You know, and just somehow I just was like, oh, my gosh, I got the ball. I caught the ball. It caught me by surprise, but right, for everybody wondering why I threw it up, you know, their goal is to stop the clock, so they're going to foul you. They can't foul you, or I guess they could, but they're not going to foul you as much if you don't have the ball. And so, I dribbled it, I think, twice or whatever, then threw it up just to get the clock moving without being able to stop the clock. And we're talking 0.3, 0.2. And me and Trey Stewart, we start going like, oh my goodness, there's not enough time. Like I didn't throw high enough. But luckily, by the time he caught it, the clock was gone. But it was a second there when I was like, oh my goodness, he's going to get shot. But it was a funny thing that me and Trey were laughing about after.
It's such a smart play. And yes, could you throw it higher? Sure, whatever. Do you want to like graze the top of the Jumbotron? I don't know. You
can think. That's where it gets
right?
Tricky, right?
Because then they'd stop the clock, they'd get the ball.
The Jumbotron and then the clock stops.
And then against Arizona State in football, they threw it out of bounds, but they're like, well, it crossed the line, you know. So you don't want to.
That's facts, yeah.
You don't want to venture into that space, but I thought it was smart what you did. Okay, so then you get mobbed by your team. It looked like you weren't like kind of yelling back, you were just like, quiet, taking it in. What was that moment like as you realized, hey, I may have just made the two best plays of my life?
Yeah, you know, it just was a little emotional. I'm not super emotional, but just sitting there, it was just a surreal moment. I just was kind of taking it in, you know, and just happy to be a part of that. And, definitely grateful that those two free throws went in, but you know, just super proud of my guys for how we played in that game. You know, it was a battle from the very start, just going against an incredible team. And but you know, just I woke up the next morning and kind of forgot about it, and I was like, that happened. And but that's definitely one of those things that I'll remember forever.
This team has taken off 9-2 in the last 11. I think about just the last 9 days, beating K-State, coming in with that 6-game win streak, Kansas by 34. Now you win at Arizona, which is a quad 1A win, top 10 win. What has gone into the ascension of this team recently?
Well, I mean, I just like relentless and resilience come to my mind, right? Like, it's hard to lose. Like, when you lose, like, you can't just turn off the TV, right, and move on with your life. Like, you're in it. You're stuck in the loss. And I've just been so proud of just, like, my team as we've had to learn by losing, and we've had to get back up. And I mean, we're seeing the fruits of that, right? Like, we lose three in a row, we win a few in a row, we lose, I think, three more in a row. Like, it's really easy to just get sad and feel bad for yourself in these moments. We're seeing the product of that, of not getting sad and feeling bad for yourself, but just coming back and moving on, you know? And because it happens in games too, where they go on a run and you got to figure out how to respond and just take it and move on in the game. And like, I've just been super proud of my guys for that, right? For not giving up when we lose by however 30 or whatever to Providence or Houston, and just these big losses, because we're seeing cool stuff because we didn't give up.
You could have gone to Kentucky. You've turned back to BYU, and you've gone from glue guy to best player on the team, in my opinion. What's gone into your transformation as an individual this year?
You know, that's a question I've been asked a few times as of late, but I don't know. I mean, like, I'll say that just throughout all the craziness of off-season stuff and not sure where we're going to be, it's just the only thing I found consistent, like we found because it's consistent, was work. Like, was just not sure where I'm going to be, but I'm going to work. And that's just what the moral of the story was this summer, is just finding like gratitude in the consistency of just working hard. I'm fortunate enough that Coach Young has put me in this position where I can shine in this different way, right? Doing what I've done for most of my career, just as a whole. But
Richie, go ahead and finish.
I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful for Coach Young and putting me in this situation.
Hey, we're grateful you came back to BYU, dude. It's been awesome, and the journey's not over. Congratulations on an incredible week, and best luck in another tough one Wednesday against Arizona State. Thanks, Richie.
Thanks, man.
Richie Saunders on BYU Sports Nation. BYU basketball with Kevin Young is Thursday night, 8:30 Eastern, on the BYU TV app. Just a couple more shows. Enjoy them while they're here.
After the break, we'll recap a busy and, in many ways, winning weekend for several BYU teams. Headlines on the way on BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
The program on social. We're on Facebook, X, Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok.
Welcome back to the studio, Bizzle. I am Spencer Linton. He is Jerem Jordan. It's time for your Monday headlines.
Men's basketball beats number 19 Arizona on the road, 96-95, led by Richie Saunders. Team high 23 points, including the game-winning free throws. Cougars shot 55% from the field, 45% from three. Up next, Cougars take on Arizona State Wednesday night, 9:30 Eastern on ESPN+ and BYU Radio. And the Cougars go from 30th to 12th in Andy Katz Power 37. We'll see if they're in the AP Top 25. They were not in the coaches' poll. They were first out.
One spot out. Number 26 in the Top 25, Jerem.
You know I love that.
BYU women's basketball falls in overtime at home against Arizona State, 85-73. The Cougars 12th in the Big 12 standings at 4-12. Soon to be Big 12 Freshman of the Year, Delaney Gibb had 25 points to lead the Cougars. Also of note, legendary BYU women's basketball player Teresa Spalding Hampson had her jersey retired at halftime of the game. It was awesome.
That's great. Number 6 men's volleyball sweeps the series against Barry University, a D2 team from Miami. Cougars won 3-1 Friday night, 3-0 Saturday night. They have a bye week this week and then a home series against number 5 USC.
The Batcats of BYU baseball split the final two games at Cal State University Northridge, but win the series overall. BYU won on Friday 7-3 and then lost on Saturday 9-4.
Softball goes 2-1 in the final games at the Mary Nutter Collegiate Classic. Cougars hit 4 homers to get the sweep of the doubleheader against Hawaii and UCSB Friday before losing to Duke 1-0 on Saturday.
BYU Gymnastics wins a dual meet on the road over Iowa State on Friday night, and in so doing, also recorded their season high score, 195.900, much tougher scoring this year in gymnastics. That's a nice number. BYU back home this weekend for the final home meet of the season against Arizona State.
So looking for that 196, right? Almost there.
Let's go. Do it Friday.
Men's track and field sets a DMR school record at the Alex Wilson Invitational Saturday, a 9:20.72. Relay team included Carter Cutting, shout out Wilsonville, Oregon, Josh Taylor, Tyler Matthews, and Lucas Bonds. Congrats.
BYU men's tennis moves to a 7-match win streak after wins against Cal Poly and Idaho over the weekend. Women's tennis also continues their 7-match win streak. They concluded non-conference play, including an undefeated home win streak that's still alive after beating Utah State and Fresno State.
Women's golf heads to Sacramento to compete in the Causeway Invitational today and tomorrow. Best of luck.
Whitney Morgan, representing the USA at the World Indoors in China in the 3,000 meters. Morgan qualified by finishing third place at the United States Indoor Championships. Good luck to Whitney Morgan. Awesome stuff. Fantastic. Up next, Fox Sports Radio host Aaron Torres. Fresh off his recent trip to Provo, and he saw that game against Kansas. We'll discuss his thoughts on BYU's win over Arizona. Does he think they're a top 25 team? This is BYUSN.
Told our guys this a lot, is we're a good team. And just that internal belief is what we got to play with, that kind of confidence.
What a week. Ranked Kansas on Tuesday, ranked Arizona on Saturday. And you can put this BYU team in the NCAA tournament, Mark.
Lock it up. The Cougars' status is firm in that bracket for March Madness. Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation live in Studio B. Joining us now, fresh off his recent trip to Provo, Utah, he's now back in his home dig, Southern California, is Aaron Torres, Fox Sports Radio host.
Aaron, hey, Ron.
Good to talk to you again, brother. Wild weekend, to say the least, in college basketball. But naturally, we want to talk about BYU and the fact that you, my friend, called this. You chose BYU as your upset special at the McHale Center. Why did you feel like the Cougars would get it done?
Yeah, it was funny. I was just telling your producer, if you had asked me like an hour before tip against Kansas, an hour tip versus Arizona, I probably would have felt more confident with the Arizona game. And I actually like them. I think they're actually probably a little bit underrated nationally. By the way, shout out to the pollsters who I don't vote in either poll. Coach has got to put on some tape because the Cougs are a top 25 team, if not a top 20 team in the country. But yeah, I mean, with this, you know, I was thinking about it. I think it was a few things. Is one, I think when Kansas lost in the manner that they did at the Marriott Center, the immediate default becomes, well, Kansas just stinks. They just lost to Utah. Oh, my God, what's wrong? The program's broken, blah, 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 blah. So you have that element of it. And I don't think people have realized that this team has been playing much better. I know you and you got your guys and your audience knows that very well. I think it's now 8 of 10, including the Arizona game. But this team's been playing better. As you and I discussed the other day, Spencer, there's no doubt that, you know, I think Kevin Young's getting the feel for the rhythms of college basketball. And I think he's getting a feel for the fact that, as a lot of us know, you know, older guys win in this sport, even if maybe, you know, they don't have the NBA upside. And so I just bring it up because, you know, I'm not a coach. I'm not claiming I know more than Kevin Young, because I absolutely do not. But I have loved the lineup tweaks. I've loved the way that this team's played the last 2 or 3 weeks. And lastly, I watched the entire first Arizona game, which was an incredible game that BYU was really in position for about 35, 36 minutes. Now, credit to Arizona for making the plays late, but it also, BYU was right there. There was no reason they couldn't have won that game as well. So I thought the return game, playing a little bit better, confidence in just having faced this team, that was kind of why I liked them going into the weekend.
In game one against Arizona, BYU was ice cold down the stretch and got out-rebounded by 15. They still got out-rebounded by 11, but they answered every question that Arizona had for them. What stuck out to you the most about how BYU won in Tucson?
I think, it's a great question. I think the thing that just stuck out was that they did have an answer every single time all game long. I mean, it's easy. You know, listen, I know football is a little bit different, but, you know, teams come out with a scripted series or two scripted series, and you get up to a 10-0 lead, 14-0 lead, but can you sustain it? Basketball is not really like that. But listen, you could see the scenario. They're riding hot off the Kansas game. There's a lot of enthusiasm about the team. There's a lot of confidence. But can you maintain it for 40 minutes? And so, you know, I'll be transparent. I was hosting my radio show, so I didn't get to watch every play of this game. But it just felt like, you know, BYU would make a, you know, 6-8-0 run, 8-2 run, whatever it be. Arizona would have the answer. You could never really get that lead to a place that you felt comfortable. And then, of course, in the closing seconds, which, you know, has certainly been a hot-button issue that I think is a little bit overblown, when Arizona does take the lead, you have the answer there late as well. So I think that's just the big thing that stood out to me. is the fact that BYU did have the answers when a very good Arizona team, who they very well likely could see in Kansas City in a few weeks, had answers for what they had, and they still found the way to get the win, especially on the road.
Aaron Torres, College Hoops Insider for Fox Sports Radio, is on BYU Sports Nation. Everybody wants to know and has been discussing, was it a foul from Trey Townsend when he was defending Richie Saunders? A lot of alternate angles have come out. BYU fans naturally, sure, Aaron, are defending, saying, oh, he got him with the knee and there's the hip check, and the way the game had been called, that should have been called. What do you think, after all is said and done, about that final play and how it impacted the game?
Spencer, I hate to do this. I'm not going to do it. Listen, this, I'm going to pull a Rod Tidwell. I'm not going to do what you all think I'm going to do. I am not going to say that it was the worst call that I've ever seen in the history of basketball. As a matter of fact, it was funny. I was like, dude, I watch all these leagues. The SEC, I see 15 worst calls every single game, at least for the most part. Nice. The Big 12 lets them play. No, what I was going to say was, you're going to hate me because I'm going to take the softest angle possible on this, which is that it probably wasn't a foul. But my belief that Saturday night, my belief Sunday when I was live on my show and I had Arizona fans mad at me because I wouldn't defend them, is exactly what Tommy Lloyd said after the game. Tommy Lloyd basically took the words out of my mouth. Was it a foul? Probably not. Is this the Big 12? Yes, it is. Are we supposed to be able to play through those kind of things? Maybe. But Arizona also gave up 94 points prior to that play on their home court in a 39-minute, 50-second regulation basketball game up until that point. And listen, I think it's a credit to both teams. I don't think either team is terrible defensively. I just think we saw unbelievable high-level offensive execution. But he did allow BYU to shoot 54% from the field. I think it was, what, 14 of 31 from three.
Yep.
And I know that because I've argued this nonstop for about 36 hours now. So I think both things can be true. I think, was that individually the best call that has ever been made in the history of basketball? No. But if you get two or three more stops, if you hold BYU to, quote-unquote, only 51% shooting from the field instead of 54%, it doesn't come down to that call. So that's why I say you're going to hate me, because I know you want me to have the big, strong, the ref did nothing wrong, but I think both things are true. It wasn't the best call, but it wasn't the reason that Arizona lost that game.
BYU fans have had issues with Tony Padilla. He's our boy now after that
I know.
Right?
Arizona, they got him on wanted posters in Arizona right now.
Jeez,
so the
wild, wild west. And I know that Oakland keeps giving back to BYU. It was Jack Golke and Trey Townsend beating Kentucky that triggered the coaching changes. Now Trey Townsend with the foul.
That's right.
Shout out to Oakland. BYU, you mentioned you believe they should be a top 25 team. How are you feeling about what they could do at the end of the season here in the Big 12 tournament and the NCAA tournament, because they're one of the hottest teams in the country?
They're one of the hottest teams in the country. They're doing it at the right time. And listen, they have all the variables that you need. Listen, with all the coaching changes, and this was why I was a little bit higher on them in the preseason than I think a lot of other national people, is you did have those four guys that were not only on the roster last year, you had four guys who played relatively big roles in the NCAA tournament. And so is it even five with Dawson Baker? I don't remember what he did last year, but I was talking about Saunders, Foos, Hall, and Nell. So you have those veteran guys. Also, I do think that talent reigns supreme in the NCAA tournament, just overall talent. Yegor Demon, we saw what he can do against an elite team on Saturday. Cannon Catchings, we saw what he could do against an elite team on Saturday. And so I see no reason why they can't. And I think the big thing is, and I think Saturday kind of proved it, the Kansas game wasn't a fluke, and it wasn't solely about Kansas. And so, listen, I think we'll learn a little bit more about this team when they go to Iowa State. I think it'd be tough to ask them to pull off the second straight, I know it's not the next game on the calendar, but another top 15, top 20 upset on the road. But you get them in Kansas City, you get them on a neutral court. I have no idea what the fan contingency is expected to be from BYU, but I'm guessing it'll be a good crowd, especially relative to probably everybody other than Kansas. And so with the way this team is playing, I see no reason that they can't do damage in Kansas City. I think I saw Spencer put this out on Saturday night. I think barring a collapse that none of us can see them coming, it's not a question of if they're in the NCAA tournament at this point, but what kind of seed.
Yes.
And I think if they keep playing the way they do, the way they are right now, there's no reason they can't win games once they get there.
Aaron Torres bringing it. Fox Sports Radio host on BYU Sports Nation.
Right.
Referencing that same post you were just talking about, Aaron, I feel like if the selection committee were bracketing today, BYU would probably be firmly on that 8-9 seed line. Do you feel the same way? Was that too ambitious, or maybe not ambitious enough?
Well, it's a great question. You know, the one thing I try to avoid this time of year is locking. I'm not a bracketologist. The guys that do that, I mean, they're, listen, I got way better things to do with my life than look at spreadsheets all day. You know, I would have gotten an accounting degree if I wanted to do that. But, you know, Lenardi's great. My buddy Rocco Miller, who does stuff for Phila 68, is great. I don't know exactly where it is. And what always makes it tough, Spencer, is the fact that, you know, it's not just what BYU does. It's what everybody around them does. You know, my UConn Huskies are falling apart right now. They were on probably a 6-7 line 2 weeks ago. They're probably closer to an 8-9 now. They go 1-3. Are they a 10? You know, if they go 3-1, or, you know, so it's just, there's so many teams kind of in that bunch that it feels weird to you know, lock in anything with 2 weeks left in the regular season plus the conference tournament. But it goes without saying, you know, you win the games you're supposed to, maybe steal a game that people don't expect you to in Kansas City. To your point, I don't think, one, that it's a question of are they in, but a question of how high can the seed get. Again, I'll leave it to the experts, but I think you're right. I think 8-9 feels realistic. I think 7, if you really make a run here, maybe pull off that Iowa State upset, maybe pull off a couple wins in Kansas City. So, again, it feels a little aggressive of me to start slotting everybody. But I'll say this, too, really quick, is that, you know, one, BYU isn't on the bubble. But two, what's so interesting is most of those teams are not playing well right now. And so the fact that you're continuing to win these high leverage games while most of the teams kind of in that 7 seed up or kind of up and down every game, you don't know what you're going to get for them, I think that's a totally positive sign for BYU.
What's your sense of what BYU's building here with not only what they're doing this year, but a first-year head coach in Kevin Young and the kind of recruits they've brought in, plus A.J. DeBonta next year? What do you see BYU doing here the next couple of years?
No, I think it's one of the more awesome stories. I've told Coach Young that, too, is that, you know, even on the national scale, you get so wrapped into talking about 3-4 programs, whatever. We all know who they are, that it's just been fun to have a different school, a different team, a different program to talk about. But the one thing I will say, and I think probably your audience knows this better than maybe a national audience does, is that I think those guys and girls in that building, I don't think they see this as, you know, we're just happy to be here. Like, we're just happy to be in the Big 12, and if we can get in as a 7 seed, that's great. And if next year we miss, that's like, no. Kevin Young said it to me on my show over the course of the summer, and I'm sure he said it on your guys' airwaves as well, is he's basically said, why not us? You know, we're in the Big 12. NIL is what it is. I have my background with the NBA. I believe I put together as good of a staff as anybody in America. And so I don't think this is a team that just because maybe their ceiling in the past had been XYZ, that they feel like that is going to be the ceiling going forward. And I think that's the exciting part, is that even when I was there last year, somebody said to me in the building, it wasn't Coach Young, but it was somebody in the building, like, why can't we play into April? Why can't we make that first Final Four in school history and you know, go back there even after that? So I don't think BYU, the guys in that building, are just happy to be in the Big 12. I don't think they're just happy to make NCAA tournaments. I think they really believe that they are building something bigger than that. And by the way, making the tournament's hard enough, so it's no disrespect to that. But I think they really feel like we're building something bigger. Just wait and see. And by the way, it's not just wait and see nationally, it's wait and see locally sometimes, because when I said really, really, really nice things about BYU after the Kansas game, everybody was quick to say, Torres, pump the brakes a little bit. We're going to enjoy this one. We got a lot more work to do just this season, let alone big picture. So,
Aaron, great to talk to you. I know you were very outspoken about your trip to Provo and how much you enjoyed it. We're just wondering when you're going to come back. And if you'd like to try the Royal Blueberry Cougar Tail when BYU hosts Utah on March 8th, because that's on the table if you want to come back for that rivalry game.
Well, I don't know if I can get back in like 2 weeks, but there were whispers of a new Cougar Tail. That was really the buzz. It wasn't who's going to be playing alongside A.J. DeBonta, who are we going to be targeting in the portal, is there another 5-star out there? It was there's a new Cougar Tail that's about to hit the market. So I don't know all the details. Certainly, you know, all the sources that I have in the BYU community, they're tight-lipped on that one. So you guys would know better than I would. I'll be back soon, man. I mean, I listen, like I said in the last answer, I don't think this thing's going anywhere. I don't think this is a cool one-off. Hey, this is fun. We're going to be 17th, but, you know, 14th in the Big 12 next year. I think this thing is built, you know, for the long term, and I plan on being back soon.
Aaron, thanks for joining the show, man. Always good to talk to you. Let's do it again soon.
Thanks, Aaron.
All right, fellas. Thank you so much. Have a great afternoon. Thank you.
You got Aaron Torres, Fox Sports radio host, college basketball insider.
Hey, it's senior night tomorrow night for the women's basketball team. Jayhawks in town from Kansas. 9 Eastern time on BYU Radio and ESPN Plus.
After the break, our elite response to our question of the day about the best part of BYU's win over Arizona. This is BYUSN.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back with our elite voice of the day, presented by PAX Healthcare Elevated, from Chip Orman on IG, who says BYU had multiple chances to fold in a very tough environment, and they did not. That by far was the best part. Today's Rise of Shoutout, presented by Mountain America, official credit union of BYU Athletics.
Tony Padilla. Sorry, Dennis.
Thanks to today's guests, Richie Saunders and Aaron Torres. For Jerem, I'm Spencer. See you back here tomorrow at Studio B. Go Cougs.